Boat Show, episode number 421. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is not with me, and as best I can tell from our communication, not especially happy right now. I am coming to you from Tampa, Florida. Made the trip down here today for a CFFC 119 on UFC Fight Pass Thursday night. So if you get a chance to tune in, I know it's a busy week and we're going to talk about all of it, but if you get a chance on your Thursday night to tune in, please do that. Myself and CM Punk will be on the call. My man CM Punk flies in. I think he's taking the red eye in tonight from LA, and he'll be here in the morning and we'll knock that out. So I made my way today. Meanwhile, Cole Coffee is pulling double duty in Las Vegas this week. He is both on the UFC coverage. I believe that is UFC Fight Night 222, if I'm not mistaken. And then, of course, there is a big, big boxing match between Gervonta Tank Davis and Ryan Garcia. It's a big boxing match, man. It really is. It's a big, big pay-per-view. T-Mobile Arena. I think it's on Showtime pay-per-view. I think DAZN is carrying it perhaps on pay-per-view as well in the United States. That's kind of one of those dual broadcasting rights situations. But not the free one. Not the one where if you pay the annual subscription with DAZN, you get that. It's definitely a pay-per-view event. But it's a big one, man. It's a big, big fight in boxing. I mean, it's as much MMA as going this weekend. And honestly, man, you might be able to argue the biggest fight this weekend is at Bellator. We'll talk about all that. But this is one of those ones where the boxing kind of rivals it. So I think a lot of the media coverage will be on the boxing event this week in Las Vegas. A lot of the local media there will probably be focused on that. So anyway, the USA Today doesn't have any Las Vegas-based reporters outside of Cold Coffee. So he's pulling double duty, doing a little bit of MMA coverage and a little bit of boxing as well. Now, that said, it seemed like they had a pretty light media day today. I think there was only six athletes at the media day today for UFC Fight Night 222, which I don't remember one that low in a long, long time, which I don't know. There's arguments to be made for that, right? Good and bad. Again, I think a lot of the people are double-dipping. I believe Oscar Willis, our man Hot T, was also heading over to the boxing coverage as well. So I think, you know, everybody's kind of double-dipping a little bit. So with that in mind, you know, maybe it's not a bad idea, but I don't know. It just makes you kind of wonder, you know, the less and less athlete exposure to the media. I know it's just the same, like, four, five, six of us in there every week. And I know everybody that's in there had no complaints over it only being six people, if I'm being honest with you. But I just do wonder, you know, long term, if that will have any effects or if that's kind of the plan that they want to go or if that's just the way it worked out for this week. And I mean, look, those 14, 16 fighter media days, like, they're long. There's no question about it. But, you know, you're also getting a lot of people in front of the media and letting them have an opportunity to talk and maybe, you know, develop a little reputation and all that. So, I don't know. We'll talk about it all. There's a whole lot going on. I was actually trying to get this done. So, I'm in Tampa now. I landed a little bit earlier tonight. Had to head over to a quick production meeting. Just talking about everything that's going to be on air tomorrow. Got a couple staff changes due to travel and stuff like that. So, some people that we haven't worked with before. So, it was just kind of running through everything, making sure everybody was on the same page so that we're buttoned up for the broadcast on UFC Fight Pass tomorrow night. So, I got that done. I actually wanted to get it done, to get this done earlier. I had a layover at DFW. I had to stop. There's no direct flights on American from Las Vegas to Tampa. So, I stopped at the DFW airport, and I went to the Admirals Club there. I do spoil myself with a little bit of an Admirals Club membership because it does make things nice, and I thought I'd be able to duck in there and maybe break out the broadcasting equipment, break out the headphones and the recorder gear, but the business center was, like, super, super quiet. I mean, I was hoping it would be either empty or there would be a lot of people on phones or there would be a lot of things going on to where I didn't feel necessarily out of place. I believe most of you probably know by now I'm not the absolute best at volume control of my voice, which has paid dividends for me. Obviously, that's a big reason I get the commentary gigs and all those things. It's a big reason I got in trouble a lot in school when I was younger. But I, there was just no way, man. I tried. I went to like a little corner over there in the room. It was Terminal A, a nice remodeled Admiral's Club. It's all up to date. And I found a little corner over in Terminal A, the Admiral's Club, in the business center. And it just wasn't happening, man. It wasn't happening. There was actually like a little kid's room. I looked at like a little kid's room, and it was empty for a minute. And then once I dropped my gear, I was like, I walked around to see if there was anybody else. Then like, which I guess probably sitting up. Now in retrospect, now I think about it, I'm glad I didn't do that. That would be really weird, right? If somebody walked in with their family and they're like got little kids, and what are you old ass man doing in this kid's room just hanging out all by yourself, just waiting for visitors? Is that what you're doing? Yeah, that probably wouldn't be good. So I tried to set up in the business center. And it wasn't going to happen. So here I am a little bit later. So I apologize for anybody that's used to this coming a little bit earlier. It's going to take a little bit later for me to get it all recorded and sent over to Cold Coffee for recording. But that's what happened. It was just a little bit of challenges of operations. So anyway, boxing is going on this week. That's a big one. So if you're a big boxing fan, I definitely think you're going to want to check this one out. Of course, I don't get to watch a lot of boxing just because my Saturdays are taken up by MMA. But the big fights like this, you know, a couple of undefeated young studs, glad this fight is being made. I know it's a big struggle. I'm sure there's a lot on the line here in terms of who does well financially, how things work out, because, this is two young studs, man. I mean, two dudes in their early 20s, both undefeated, both knockout artists. Ryan Garcia, the bigger man, naturally. I still like Tank Davis, to be honest with you. I mean, since it was first announced, people have been asking about it. I just think that dude is an absolute stud. I mean, these are the kind of guys that even though I don't get to watch much live, I go back and watch the replays because these two dudes are at the top of the game right now. So I'm excited for this one. I won't be able to watch it live either because I've got some. We'll get into that in a little bit. There's just so much MMA going on. I won't be able to watch it live. But if you're a boxing fan, if you're one of those ones that kind of split your time between boxing and MMA, I can completely understand why this particular weekend you might say, you know what, this is my boxing weekend. And I would not fault you one bit. As far as MMA goes, last weekend continued fallout from Max Holloway. That incredible performance, that big win over Arnold Allen. It seems like, you know, the play is going to be Korean Zombie. I love that. I'm happy to see that. You know, I was a little bit worried. Talked about it going in. Talked about it on the and a half show. Where it's just like the only thing that was frustrating about this fight was if Max Holloway wins, nothing happens. And those are always tough for me, man. Like, I mean, honestly, like my rankings, for instance, in featherweight didn't move at all. And it always feels weird when you have a big main event and you just leave everybody where they sit. And in one way, it's kind of like, okay, good. Well, that proves your rankings were correct. I mean, if a fight happens and you don't move anybody, then that means the rankings going in were exactly the way they should have been. And I try to look at that as like, okay, well, that was confirmation of your rankings were set up the right way. But I don't know, man. When you have big main events like that, like you want things to move, right? Like you want things to switch up a little bit. You want things to move around. And okay, now what does that mean? And who goes where? And I was a little bit worried that Max Holloway was going to be like, all right, I know Alexander Volkanovski. You know, we've had our history, but come on, I just beat this guy. Now let's go again. But Max didn't. He turned his attention to the Korean Zombie, Chan Sung Jung. And I don't see how you can argue with that fight. And I love that Zombie. Of course, you know Zombie's in. He's like, yep, let's do it. So great stuff, man. I think that's probably the best thing that could happen. And then on the flip side of that, Arnold Allen doesn't drop at all. Now, Arnold Allen stayed at number four, which is exactly where I had him. I had the things the exact way. So the way the UFC rankings are, the champ obviously is automatically at the top. Now, because there's an interim champ with Yair Rodriguez, he's kind of the number one contender. Like if you look on the list, he's number one, but then there's an interim tag right next to it. You can't move him either, right? So it's champ, interim champ. And then technically Max Holloway is number two rather than being number one. Now it's funny because I did see a lot of people say, man, why is Allen still ahead of Brian Ortega? You know, maybe Allen should have been, you know, he had a good showing there. You know, some people, I mean, very few people think he won. I did see a couple of people out there saying that they thought it should have been scored the other way. I didn't see very many of those scores. But if nothing else, it was competitive. I had it 4-1. But as I mentioned, on the and a half episode this past weekend, I didn't think 3-2 was the worst score. So, I mean, if you're competitive, I don't think you necessarily need to move back, right? But I saw a lot of people that thought, man, maybe, you know, Brian Ortega, all he has, and it's kind of fair. So like I said, I always have my little spreadsheet, right? I think we talked about before. I do a little spreadsheet and I compare everybody to, next to each other. Ortega has the losses, and I always keep the last 3 years at the top. That's why I look at. I look at their overall record, and I look at the last 3 years. And Ortega has the losses to Yair and Volkanovski, and then he has the win over Zombie in the last 3 years. Arnold Allen has the loss to Holloway, but then he has wins over Cater, Hooker, and Yusuf. Now, gosh, you know what, man? I mean, Cater, I've got Cater at number 7 right now. I've got Yusuf at number 12 right now. I've got Hooker, you know, no longer in the rankings, but obviously I got all the respect in the world for Hooker. So, to be honest with you, I kind of don't argue with that. I kind of don't argue that it wouldn't be a bad thing for Allen to be at number 3, but I had him at number 4, and I didn't feel like – I don't like to move guys up on a loss, so I left him. But you know what, man? It did give me some pause. It did give me some think. Maybe Allen is deserving of that number 3 spot. He's been more active. He has wins over ranked opponents. Technically, Chen Sung Jung, Korean Zombie, the win that Ortega has, is the highest ranking out of any of them, but – Allen has a little bit more. He has 2 ranked opponents versus 3. So, look, it's a toss-up. It's not going to matter either way. But I love the idea of Holloway and Zombie, and I think that's going to happen. So, I was just happy that fallout kind of fell out the way it did without having to debate, like, we're going to do number 4 and that sort of thing. I don't see any calls for that. And I know I saw Volkanovski saying that, you know, he's not really down for it either. So, anyway, great, great win. Great, great win. This weekend, it's going to be UFC Fight Night 222. I did get that interview posted late last week. People on the NAF over at patreon.com/MMAroadshow, I mentioned it there that I had this Bobby Green interview. I didn't pump it a lot. I didn't cut any social media clips out of it because there was a lot of bad audio in it, man. Unfortunately, it was on Bobby's end, but it was a situation where he was a late addition to my schedule. The PR rep that works with him was like, hey, I got him available, you know, tomorrow, are you down? I'm like, of course, man, I want to speak to Bobby anytime I can. And then when it came time, the morning of, this particular PR rep is awesome, man. Ed Kapp is his name. He's been in around the industry forever. At first, I wasn't going to say his name, but I should. I should give him respect because he does an awesome job. He always, like, confirms again the morning of, and he's like, hey, man, just FYI, I haven't been able to confirm with Bobby, so I don't know if we're good or we're not, but hopefully we are. And so, you know, I was in on the link, hoping we would be, you know, video conference, that sort of thing, and Bobby showed up, but the audio was a little bit bad, and he was driving at the time. Because he was driving, because it was kind of unconfirmed, because it was a late edition, I felt bad, you know, asking to him to disconnect and reconnect or that sort of thing, but, so the audio was kind of bad, but it was a good interview. But before we get into this, can I just play Bobby Green right now? Because I'll be honest with you, out of all the things that I was a part of, Bobby Green basically echoed a whole lot of the things that I had talked to him about. And I'm sure, I mean, well, maybe, I'll take that back. Maybe nobody in the room saw the interview. But they ask a lot of the same type of questions. But, I mean, that's natural, right? I mean, we're going to ask the same kind of things. So a lot of the same sentiments were echoed. But Bobby Green showed up wearing the bling, 60 G's in cash with him. I love it. I didn't want to waste my audio, so I posted that, but I know it might've been hard for you guys to watch. And I didn't pump it very much because I knew it was going to be kind of a tough watch. The man has changed his name to King after this. But I wanted you to hear from Bobby Green because he has literally become one of my absolute favorite interviews in the game because I just think he's so comfortable now after this long in the game, being in front of us, man, and just being himself and just talking about what he wants to talk about and keeping it real. And to be honest with you, it's one of the fights that I'm personally most looking forward to on this card. So let's just get into Bobby Green.
We'll talk about it.
We'll start with the big wad of cash you've just thrown down on the table. Is this to share with the room or what's the money representing?
Oh, man, it represents a couple of things. It's a part of my outfit, for one.
Okay.
Two, it's not really much, you know, it's only 60,000, not much. Cash isn't, and they say cash is trash, so it's not really anything. But for me, it's a motivation. It lets me know exactly what I'm looking for, and lets me know that this is what I'm aiming for every time I go to fight. One of these. And I want to start taking where I think I got like 8-9 of these where I'm going to start putting them in my photos, you know. What is it, a shadow box?
Yeah.
Put your shorts in it in a little stack and put them all around my house, you know. So it's really motivation for me to let me know and fighters know that this is what I do it for. You guys be trying to just get the W. I'm trying to get more than that. I'm trying to show an impact, you know. I'm impacting. You guys are doing it like just to get by. Nuh-uh. My shit's going to be timeless. They're going to say, I got the fight of the night. I got the fight of the month. I'm going to keep it going, you know. And I think it's number 9 for me. I lost count. But just keep them coming, you know. And so I think a lot of fighters lose sight of what it is we're doing. I'm trying to build a catalog of fights that you can go, man, I love watching this guy's fights. You got a catalog of fucking just dope-ass shit, you know?
I love it. I believe this is the last time we as the media will be talking to Bobby Green. And next time out, it'll be just King.
Man, y'all got that. I didn't even know. Yeah, like people thought I was going to retire. I'm not retiring. I'm retiring Bobby Green. I was going to do this a couple years ago, but I was fighting child cases, you know, with my baby mamas and stuff. They all want to take me for child support, even though I support my kids, but sometimes it get like that with women. It is what it is. I was just trying to do something different, rebrand myself, let everybody know that what I'm doing here is like, why not? I woke up today and I'm like, I've done everything I really want to do. Why not change my name? Who else wakes up and says, hey, today I'm going to change my name, you know? Fuck it, let's do something different. You know, I'm totally different from all the other guys on the lineup, and that's one thing I'm setting myself aside. Ever since I was like a little kid, I never wanted to be like you guys. You know, when y'all go left, I'm going to go right. When y'all go right, I'll go left. Everybody told me my style wouldn't work. Everybody told me this is different and that. Yeah, I do everything different from y'all.
Yeah. Have you spoke to Bruce Buffer about how he's going to announce King? I mean, that might be a challenge for
him. That is going to be weird, you know what I mean? That is going to be weird. I'm going to see it myself, but he's a talented gentleman, and I know he'll take care of it.
Yeah. What do we think of Jared Gordon? His performance against Paddy Pimblett is the one that got most people talking. I don't know if you saw that fight. People think he won. And he told us earlier that the UFC were going to treat him like he won, and that's why he's fighting you, an opponent ahead of him. What do you think of his style? Obviously, it's nowhere near the same as yours, but what do you think of him as a fighter?
Tough kid, you know, tough kid. He isn't going there and fight. We've been crossing paths for so many different fights where I'm like, I can't look at him like, he might be coming down my way, you know. Hey, I've been talking to my coach, and I'm like, Sam, I don't know. I see him coming somewhere on my way. But then he went down to 45, so I was like, all right, I'll let it go. But then he came back up, so man, God brought us together, and we're crossing paths now.
Do you think he got robbed in the Paddy fight?
I do. But again, it goes back to my point. Goes back to my point about this is you're winning a great fight, and then all of a sudden he took the third round to go, I'm going to just hug and hold and just be safe and just win that way. Nuh-uh. See, I'm trying to get these. I'm trying to keep these coming. And if you're doing that, it's not going to happen that way. And a lot of fighters make those decisions where I feel like the industry's getting watered down, where all of a sudden we're getting these guys. Before we had killers that went in and tried to fight and do this certain thing. All of a sudden now these guys want to be like, they want to be like more wrestler based and more, it's just saved and it's not like a fight anymore. It's like a match. Yeah. I'm like, who wants to see a match? I want to bring it where I still keep that classic look where you're like, oh God, these guys are fighting. This came to be a fight where it's Nate is my homie. He's one of the person like, nah, bro, this is a fucking fight. Yo squad against my squad. What's up? And we not cool till after the fight, you know? We ain't got to shake hands. We ain't got to be cool or nothing until after fight. If you want to be cool, if not, fuck it. We can keep this shit going and we'll fight in the background. You know what I mean? We'll fight when we see each other again. It's a me versus you, my family versus your family.
Yeah. I was going to ask about Nate because I saw you post on Instagram that you guys were hanging out again. Are you going to be helping him out for the Jake Paul fight? How excited are you for that one? And what do you think he's going to look like out there?
Yeah. We're going to do our thing. I went down there and trained with him for a few weeks. Dope guy, you know, dope. And with the whole Jake Paul fight stuff, like, everyone believes that because Jake is bigger, that he's going to have the advantage with the size. Jake got one tool. He going to duck his head like this and do this. Amateur-ass boxing, you know. And it takes more than that, you know. So all we got to do is worry about a stupid right hand. When it comes to boxing, he really don't got that boxing like that. And as the rounds go later on later, it go more and more in our favor, you know. And another thing you guys don't realize is Nate can hit, you know. I've been winning some rounds with him. And that, you know, pow, I'm like, oh, shit. You know how it goes sometimes. Look how when he hit Leon, had him on skates. So y'all don't really understand his power, too. The kid's got power. Wait till you let him put that size on. He's going to have some power, too. And I don't know. I think we might sleep, Jake, be honest.
Yeah, a lot's made of, like, Nate's actual boxing ability, right? Because MMA is a bit different. You got to work on different ranges and stuff. But everyone says, well, if you watch Nate just spar boxing, he's actually really, really good. I mean, Andre Ward's giving him props and everything. You've seen him in the gym. What's he like with just his hands?
That's a great thing to bring up is I feel like for MMA, like, a lot of times they got dropped in sometimes in their fights. But what they do is they'll go like this. And this works in boxing. That works for boxing where I can shield up and the big glove will protect more. In the MMA, they slide through. They still get around. And so I think that their style is even better for boxing, you know? And so he'll do way better. I don't think Jay's getting past six rounds. I bet round six, he goes down.
Put that money on it.
I'll put my money on it.
Hey, Bobby. You know, obviously you've been in the game for a long time, man, but did you learn anything from your last fight against Drew Dober?
Did I learn anything? Possibly. I realized that most of you guys want to push me against the cage, you know, and that's probably what Jared Gordon game plan is. Were you fighting in a small cage? I wish I would have had the bigger cage, the audience, and to be able to do what I do, you know, but I noticed that and I learned that part. But besides that, bro, be honest, the past is the past, you know, and I wake up the next day and I didn't forgot about the past. I got almost 50 fights, bro. And sometimes in this industry, I already accepted in my head was, hey, at some point in time, you're going to go down on your shield. If you didn't fought this long with this many guys at this level, sooner or later you're going down on your shield, and you better be okay and know this is part of the game. Some game, you're going to have a game where you got out there and the motherfucker threw a Hail Mary. It's just what it is. He threw a Hail Mary, and hey, the guy caught the ball. We'll go home, but we know who we are. We know we the champs, and it's okay. It's okay. He can have that one. I'm happy for Drew. He's a great guy. For any guy I can lose to, that guy is got fucking, he's class, he's a class act. So that is what it is. But at the same time, like, my thing is this. One of my favorite fighters used to be Rashad Evans. When Rashad was first coming up, he'd stand in there with you, bang with you, wrestle with you, do it all. And he lost to me, Lyoto. After he lost to Lyoto, it changed his style completely. Where now all he wanted to do was just wrestle, and he changed to what I'm talking about now, that industry where it's safe matches. I don't want to ever do that with my public where, like, bro, you used to be that. You was that guy. Now you fight nothing on like you used to. I'm not going to change a bit. And I hope you don't think that scared me or deterred me from what I do. I'm going to keep this going, hands down, in your face. Let's fucking go.
Speaking of the past, you got some backlash for your comments against about the Russians in the Dagestans. I was wondering if you heard Dan Hooker's accusation with Islam and the Ivy.
Why are you trying to get me to go there? You trying to get me killed, huh? You trying to get me to talk that shit? So, I didn't know. Since you're going to make me do it. I didn't know because I don't really know about the drug shit. But Joe Rogan said the what the fuck is the bags? What is the IV bags? I guess they use that to flush PEDs. So now it's like, huh? Yeah, that's a little interesting. Now he used an IV bag? What did he use the IV bag for? I don't know. You tell me. And so the speculations just keep going. And somebody else called them Bobby Green theories. So leave it as another theory.
Speaking of Dan Hooker, do you still want that fight?
Yeah. Me and Hooker can get it. You know what I mean? Hooker can get it. I fuck with Izzy, and I don't want to fuck with his team and take them from his team. But I do think we have a potential for another fight at night. I'm trying to leave legacy around, leave a whole catalog of fucking dope-ass fights, and I think Hooker would be a dope one.
Two last ones for me. With you changing your name to King, what's your nickname going to be?
There is no nickname, brother. I'm just me. You know, I'm just me. Like a nickname is an alter ego, you know? Like, you're all this when you're there. Now I'm this all the time. I'm me who I am, and I'm not trying to change that. And I was, this is what it is. I'm just going to be me.
And your head tattoo, did that hurt?
My head tattoo? Oh, fuck. This is the worst one of all. I thought my eyelids was going to hurt. I got, God bless with my eyelids. I thought that was going to be my worst. But the head one, 28 hours, you know, didn't have to go get it redone. This shit was fucking hell, especially when you smoke weed, too. It make it worse. This shit intensifies the pain. You feel it more. Like, oh, fuck. I felt it in my legs. I felt it in my hands. I'm like, how do I feel in my hands? It hurt in my hand.
You regret it at all, or?
Do I regret it? No. I'm the only black guy you're going to see with a tattoo on his head. I keep telling you, I'm different. Let them guys be the normal guys. Y'all could be normal. I'm me. I'm that guy. I'm me. I'm not trying to. Like, I used to get so jealous of guys that were coming up in the industry, like, you know, just popping up and they're stars already, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now I'm at that point where, like, I'm just me, and I'm going to, if you know it and you recognize it, you see it, you go, oh, I like that guy, you know? I'm doing it for those guys, you know? The real recognize the real. Besides that, like, everybody got their own journey. Like, I used to be mad at Sean O'Malley, like, you haven't earned it. You haven't earned it, you know? Now he fought Jan. I'm like, okay, you earned it now, kid. We give you your respect. Patty, you still ain't earned it. But those guys come up and feel like they're the guy. The Roseless kid was talking trash, and I'm like, listen, kid, you just got here. Slow down. Show some little be humble. You know what I mean? Show, like, hey, hold up. You got to earn that shit a little bit more before you could try to blow show shoulders around here. I'm almost 50 fights in, brother. Jorge, he just quit at 52. I don't know nobody else right now doing it like me. You know what I mean? Still consistently 3 fights a year. Still busting them out, fight of the night. Like, me and Kevin got into a little spat, and I'm like, listen, brother, I'm you. Like, Kevin set the record last year for 11. I think I had 9. One of the fights, I was supposed to fight Jim Miller. I passed out after weigh-ins. Or so I would have fought that fight. That would have been 10. And I had the stupid USADA bullshit with DHEA from fucking Walmart. I didn't know you could get some shit from Walmart that'll get you banned. Not even behind the counter shit, you know? On the fucking vitamin section. So I would be right there tied with the young kids. Like, he just got here a couple years ago. I've been in this bitch almost 15 years. Still be consistent like me. Those guys, at my age, like, I talked to Chielsa, and he's like, man, yeah, no, I want to be like that. Nah, Chielsa, you've been popping one a year, yeah. But he kept saying, injuries, yeah, I know. I fought Dober. My hand, I got cleared the week before the fight. Literally the week before the fight. I didn't know how it was going to hold up. I didn't know how I was going to be. But I knew I was going in there to fight. That's all I knew. And I had to run just more southpaw because this hand was busted. So I had to bust him up with this one more. And I had to keep this one a little bit behind, you know. I couldn't hit exactly how I want to hit. And it is what it is. I still take chances. No matter what, the opportunity comes, I'm going to take it.
Thanks, Bobby.
I know you said you don't have a nickname, so I just worked on a few for you.
Oh,
since you brought some cash, you said it's going to be part of the outfit. King 60 G's, baby, green.
Oh, my God.
Or King bling, 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 green. Or my last one and maybe favorite one, King smoking and bringing the green. Yeah, there you go. Those are all options. You
those
can take any.
Those are anything. All horrible, okay? You should stick to your job, okay? Stick to what you do. Let me do the cool shit. You stick to what you do, okay? That shit was horrible. At least it's 50. You said 60. I'm like, nah. I mean, that's just some extra money from extra stuff. People owe me some money. They threw me some money in there. I'm like, cool, you know? This is my side money.
Don't they say cash is king? Cash is king?
Hey, that's pretty dope. That's pretty dope. Now, that's pretty dope. But, brother, it's just going to be king. I'm not really trying to, like, I don't even really want a fight name or have a nickname or anything like that. It's just King. And it's really purpose to show people that you got to understand, I came from foster care. I didn't have a mom, didn't have a dad, you know, been in 50 different homes. I was homeless for a second, you know, sleeping on different people's couches and blah, blah, blah. And I was just wanting to show people that you can go from being homeless, being a peasant, to being a king, you know. And I don't want to be cocky like, oh, you're the king, not the king. I'm aching, you know? I'm aching. I built this shit myself off of hard work because all of us go through some things, you know? And we all think like, oh, poor me. You're like, oh, my life is hard. Yeah, well, somebody else had a hard life too. Suck that shit up and you can do it. And so I'm trying to be that light for someone else to go, hey, I could do it, you know? Bobby Green did it and he had it pretty fucking bad. If he could do it, I could do it.
That's a good mic drop ending
right there. Let me try one. Money Green. Money Green. Money Green. You got the Green last name.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. He didn't put King in there at all. He's like, maybe he forgot his King.
I'll put the King when we need to. But Bobby, you've always been you're an MMA original, a UFC original. I haven't seen the drip as much before. What was the turning point to where you really wanted to not just vocally express it, but with your style, with your art?
You gotta understand, I'm a poor kid from San Bernardino. I try to impact the kids like me. And to be honest, when I was a kid, I was looking at the rap video. I look at the rappers like, man, those guys look cool, you know? Those guys is dope. You know, I want to have the stack of cash and be rapping and be having girls all in the back. And then they got the chains, you know? I see kids now and they go, hey, are you a rapper? You know, I'm like, nah. I punch people for money. You could be like me, you know? And they're like, what? You know? And so it's just another way from being from the hood. You know, this is what we do. This is where we from, and this is what they respect. Because I could be like, coming in. I can be a regular kid just wearing regular stuff and have money in the bank. But that doesn't make that person, like, they go, well, where's your stuff? Like, where we're from. They're looking at you like, they look at you and go, well, it don't add up. So where I'm from, the look is the look, you know? To us, this is a medallion, you know? I never needed a title. This is my medallion through the hood. You know what I mean? I'm wearing this through the streets, and niggas are like, hey, he that nigga. Yeah, and this is what's more important to me than any title. When I can run through my streets and people know, hey, that's that nigga. And it's just more so like that's how we look at it from the streets. It's like, man, if I wore a title around, I'd be like, oh, what is that guy doing, you know? What is that guy doing running around with that stupid belt around him, you know? But when you look like this, they go, some kid go, man, can I be like you? Hey, what do you do? Come over here to the gym. Come to the gym. I'll teach you how to do this, you know? I'll teach you how to do this shit. I know how to do all this shit. Teach you how to wrestle. I'll teach you how to do some jits. I'll teach you how to box and everything. Come on. Let's do this. We can get this money together.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. Good luck. Appreciate on Saturday.
All right, let's go.
King, I got a question. I grew up in foster care as well in New Jersey, so I can relate. What I've noticed about you and what I like about you is you know how to spot the most peculiar imperfections, even in the most beautiful of masterpieces. Have you spotted the imperfections in your upcoming opponent?
Interesting. That's a beautiful comment, bro. Appreciate that. In life, we have to enjoy everything you get, you know? That's what foster care taught me, and especially fighting taught me that too. It's like, man, when you got to cut weight and you got to starve yourself, you can enjoy food. You enjoy every drink of water you get, you know? It's a blessing. Now when it comes to the fight, I enjoy every moment of it. And it's an audible to me, you know? You got to let me know when you're taking a picture, you know what I mean? But yeah. enjoying every moment, you know? And exposing the weaknesses, like, that all comes through. Like, I can see things on a video screen and see the videos of other fighters he fought, but that doesn't mean I'm going to fight that way, and that doesn't mean he's going to fight me that way. I'm a guy that sees it on the moment, on the fly. I like to call it like a quarterback. I'm in there, and I'm like, uh-uh. Like, what the game plan may have been, oh, we're going to wrestle this kid, we're going to do like this, but I might call it a little bit, coach, you know? Like, there's been times where we actually argue, me and Sam. He'll be telling me, hey, move, get out of there, you know? I don't want you in the pocket like that. I'm like, coach, I got it. Bing, bing, bing. No, I got it, coach. Bing, bing, bing. No, he's bing, bing, bing. We come back to the court, he's like, I need you to move your feet more. I'm like, coach, no, he's getting tired. I got it, watch. You know? And sometimes it pays off, and sometimes he's fucking right. And we go back and we go, man, you were fucking right. I need to move my feet more. You were right, coach.
Oh, man, dude, I love Bobby Green. I really do. He has become one of my favorite guys to hear and to watch fight, and to watch fight, man. I mean, really. I don't know, man. I just think, honestly, 100% keeps it real. But I like what he's saying. What he's saying is true about, you know, kind of old school fighters versus matches. You know what I mean? I know that's not necessarily a fair criticism. I think as people get better and better at mixed martial arts, people understand there's money at stake. They don't necessarily want to take risk. But that is, I think that encapsulates. You guys have heard me say sometimes that I forget sometimes why Nate Diaz and Nick Diaz, like, why they're such, you know, fan favorites sometimes. Because, look, I mean, they have a lot of losses and they have a lot of setbacks. And you go, like, you know, you go into fights sometimes, like, man, this is a uphill battle for this dude. Like, I don't know if he's going to get it. But then you get reminded that it's not just supporting a guy because I know he's going to win. Like, that's easy to just be like, oh, I like this guy because he wins every time. No, I like this guy because he's going to go out there and fight. He's going to put on a fight every time. And Bobby Green does that, man. I'm excited to watch him fight. I am actually going to just watch him fight this weekend. I actually decided in a rare weekend, you know, not a big, massive event. And I'm already missed the media day. I'm going to miss the weigh-ins because I'm flying home during the weigh-ins. I actually decided to just go to the fights. I'm just gonna go hang out and watch the fights. So take a look and see if you can catch me on the screen. I'll have my family with me. I guess I won't be wearing the blue for you to keep out for. I usually wear the blue so that my son sees me when I'm not around. But if my son's with me, I don't know what I'll be sporting. Probably a black T-shirt. That's pretty much what I sport all the time. So I'm actually looking forward to just going to hang out. And that'll be one of the fights I'm looking forward to the most. Sergey Pavlovich, Curtis Blaydes in the main event. It's a big main event, man. A really, really big main event. And I said earlier, you know, maybe not the biggest fight of the weekend. I think that might go to the Bantamweight Grand Prix winner, right? I mean, I know that that's not for the belt. That's for an interim belt. It is for $1 million. It is, in terms of just high-quality mixed martial arts, about as damn good as it gets, man. That matchup between Rafion Stotts and Patchy Mix, I'm so fired up about it. Happening out there in Hawaii, part of that two-event weekend. A lot going on out there. We'll talk about that. I mean, one championship is busy this weekend, so there's a lot of big fights. I think that Bantamweight Grand Prix is the biggest, but this is a big one here with Sergey and Curtis. Now, it's a weird one, right? Because here's another one. It kind of goes back to what we talked about with Max Holloway. What exactly comes next for the winner? Now, I think, you know, I think the winner of this is in a good position to just kind of sit tight and wait on John Jones and Stipe Miocic this summer. Still looks like that's going to happen. You know, that's been the discussion. And I said from the beginning, I'm a little nervous about this thing happening at International Fight Week. That's a quick turnaround for John Jones. But it sounds like he's all in, so it sounds like we're good to go. I think the winner of this will just have to look towards maybe like December. But I don't see how you would deny the winner. I mean, I could see some people saying that Curtis Blaydes doesn't deserve it, et cetera, et cetera. I just don't buy that. I think if he beats Sergey Pavlovich, I think you got to give him the title shot. So, to me, this looks like a number one contender fight. It really, really does. I mean, the only other one standing in there is Ciryl Gane at number one. And I don't think, I mean, we just saw that versus John Jones. I mean, even if Stipe were to beat John Jones, Ciryl Gane still got to come back and beat somebody, right? I mean, it's to me the way it is. Now, of course, you got Tom Aspinall, who I think is right behind there as well, but he's still recovering from injury. So to me, this is a number one contender fight. And, you know, it's a number one contender fight that comes with a caveat that you're going to have to wait. But I don't think these guys mind waiting. You know, I think they kind of expressed that, hey, we see it as the same way. And so we know what's at stake. We'll wait for that to happen. And, you know, maybe you serve as a backup. Obviously, a heavyweight backup, Sergey's done it before. It's not a bad situation to have, especially if you're a guy that doesn't cut weight or maybe only cut a couple of pounds. It's a lot better situation. I don't really love the backup role for a title fight, just because, man, you're putting yourself in a pretty impossible spot. Like, how do you prepare for both sides of a title fight? If you're that third guy, how do you get ready for John Jones and Stipe Miocic at the same time? I mean, think about that. One of the greatest fighters of all time, if not the greatest fighter of all time, in John Jones, a man that many consider the greatest heavyweight, at the very least the greatest UFC heavyweight champion of all time, in Stipe Miocic, at least statistically so. How do you get rid of ready for both of those guys at the same time. It's a hard position to be in. But the good thing about it is it's not a situation where, like, you're cutting a massive amount of weight, right? You know, it's so hard for you. You know, you look at some of these flyweights especially where they just can barely make weight, and they got to drain their body down and then not even get a fight out of it. So it's not a bad spot. It's not ideal, but it's not a bad spot. So to me, number one contender fight, it's a big one. Brad Tavares and Bruno Silva, I'm excited for this one just because Brad Tavares, man. I ran into him the other day. I ran into Brad Tavares the other day at my kid's indoor soccer practice. My kid is doing jiu-jitsu and soccer right now, but he really likes playing goalie, so we've been getting some extra coaching at this indoor facility that has like these goalkeeper clinics. And ran into Brad Tavares there. You know, I run into Brad Tavares at the park sometimes, man. I remember covering him on The Ultimate Fighter. And gosh, his whole story about, you know, at the time, I remember he was working for Hawaiian Airlines, and he kept that job because, if I remember right, I think he was like loading baggage, and he didn't have to work that many hours a week, but by doing that, it allowed him some pretty cheap airfare to get back and forth between Vegas and Hawaii because he was just starting his UFC career, right? And he didn't have money to be able to buy tickets back and forth to Hawaii, but if he worked there and maintained that, he could keep that cheap airfare, which I just always that just always resonated with me and stuck with me. Like, A, that's practical as hell, so good thinking. But B, you know, you're chasing your dream, and you got to do this other thing as well. So excited for Brad Tavares for sure to see that. Anytime I get a chance to see him fight, I will always support Brad Tavares. So looking forward to that. I can understand why people wouldn't necessarily be like, oh, it's a huge co-main event. I get it. But I'll be looking forward to that. And then I mentioned Brad Tavares. Then I mentioned Bobby Green versus Jared Gordon. And I hate it because I love Jared Gordon as well. But Bobby Green, truly, one of my absolute favorites in the game. So looking forward to that. And hopefully in that Apex, when I'm not as dialed in on writing reports and stuff like that, I can maybe hear him talking a little bit. I love what he's doing. As he said, he's trying to build a catalog, man. And by the way, building a catalog, I'm going to throw this out there one more time. I really think, and I've said this before, but I mean it, and I want to throw it out there again, just in case somebody in the universe is listening. I don't feel very good about fighters ever coming together for a fighters union, association, etc. I've seen too many starts and stops of it, too many iterations of it. I don't feel good about it. But it reminded me when Bobby Green was talking about building a catalog. It reminded me of like an artist, a musician. And I really think if for whatever reason fighters ever can come together and collectively bargain, I really think that would be a good way to get paid moving forward. Like creating income for yourself after your fights are over is your catalog. Just like an artist, just like a music artist, like an actor, whatever, get royalties on your fights. Get paid a little bit extra. Every time that thing streams on UFC Fight Pass, every time that thing gets aired on ESPN+, every time, wherever the thing goes, and now you're talking about globally. Now, again, I'll be honest with you. I don't really know how those contracts work. I don't know enough about the music business and that sort of thing. But I know there are some people that do, right? There's some people that have released music. There's some people that have connections there. I don't know what it is. Is it a penny every time a fight plays, especially if you're talking about internationally? Like, I don't know. But I think that would be such a cool thing for fighters to try to structure deals in a way that, like, your fights, as they get played moving forward, you get paid a little tiny bit of revenue. Maybe it's not a ton of money, but at least it's a way for you to make money after your fighting career is over. You know, if you come into the UFC and you only have 4 fights, but three of them are fight of the nights, and you lost all three of them, but they were absolute classics, and you're gone from the UFC forever, but they're fights that people go watch all the time and get paid over and over, or get watched over and over, then you can get paid over and over. You know, again, granted, I wouldn't expect that to keep you rich. Like, I never have to work again, but something. So when he talked about that, building that catalog, it made me think about that. It is a catalog, and shouldn't these athletes get respected for that catalog? I don't know. Just something to think about. I don't feel great about the idea of a fighters union or association ever really happening, but if it does, that would be one thing I would try to push for in collective bargaining. Jeremiah Wells versus Matthew Simmelsberger, I'll be paying attention to that. A couple of CFSC vets. Christos Giagos versus Ricky Glenn. Had an interview up on the Underground YouTube with Christos Giagos where he talked about the injury that is in that. He was in part of Fury Professional Grappling. Had a win over there, beat Zolkarnaya Kamchubekov. Good win for him. But I knew he was recovering from a hand injury. What I didn't know until this week was how he suffered his hand injury. And he had a pretty wild story. He was just, like, cleaning some stuff. Like, he had a kind of a long story, but bottom line, like, a toilet broke that had to be repaired. That was in, like, a dustbin. He was cleaning a grill, and as he was wiping, his hand just kind of slipped and cut across some porcelain and sliced open his hand, little finger, two ligaments on the pinky, torn. He said it was literally shooting blood out of his hand, which is something he had never seen before, and it freaked him out. And he actually talked about, like, wrapping his hand up, and his wife wasn't at home at the time, and they only had one car at the moment, so he had to take an Uber to the urgent care. And just the weird questions that come in my head, I was like, did the Uber driver look at your hand? Like, hell no. And he was like, nah, I covered it up pretty good. He never saw it. But anyway, kind of a freak injury. I think that's so crazy when they go through what they go through in training and that sort of thing. And it's, slicing open your hand on porcelain that gets you out of there. But he was pretty excited. You know, he thought him and Ricky Glenn would be a pretty good fight. And I tend to agree with that. I think it could be a really, really good fight as well. Hani Yahya is back against Montel Jackson. Phenomenal. I mean, seeing Yahya back in there, the pure jiu-jitsu specialist, pretty wild. Carol Hosa, Norma Dumont at featherweight, Muhammad Usman and Junior Taffa. That could be absolute firecrackers in there as well. Brady Heaston is in there. I mean, Francis Marshall. So there's some good fights. It's some fun fights. I'm looking forward to it. It's not a big card. It's not. There's no question about this card and next week's card at the Apex. Not massive cards, but there's a reason they're at the Apex. These are fights that if you were trying to sell out an arena, you would probably struggle a little bit to sell out an arena. But if you're just having it at the Apex, man, it's a cost-effective solution to doing it. And it just means that when they do travel, you know, when they do get that money, you get more stacked events. So I'm looking forward to actually just kind of hanging out and being a fan like you guys. I'll still do the and a half over for our fine supporters at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow. I guess we'll just have to see what kind of state I'm in terms of whether it gets done that night or maybe first thing in the morning on Sunday. We'll see how that goes. But I'm looking forward to that. I don't get to do that very often. So it's kind of a fun week for me. I get to commentate some fights. And then get to come back and watch some fights. By the way, Thursday night, good main event. Donovan Beard is back at CFFC. Of course, you know, he had the loss, to the super prospect in Bo Nickel. And Donovan's just kind of owned up to it and said, man, I froze at the worst possible situation, like bleeding into the fight. I didn't care who the guy was, you know, not that he was trying to disrespect him, but he was just like, I'm not going to let myself get blown away by the moment. And then those around him kept building it up. It's like, oh my God, you know who you're fighting? You're fighting this monster. Dude, you're fighting this guy, which is just a good lesson for people around fighters. Like, you can't talk to them that way. You can't make their opponent out to be this monster, this unbeatable ghoul of a specter that you can't ever beat. Like, that does bad mind tricks. And he said that was kind of happening around him, and it got to him. And at the last possible minute, man, he psyched himself out and just lost focus and is so frustrated with himself. He, you know, hopes he gets to fight Bo Nickel again one day. Doesn't want to take anything away from Bo Nickel, but it's the first time he's ever lost. It hasn't been by decision, and he was pretty frustrated. So anyway, he's back. He's got his middleweight title against Greg Ellis, who's won several fights in a row, Tampa's own, to get in here. So a good main event. Colin Lubert's, Hugh Pulley, a couple guys that have fought for the title in the past as well. They're fighting in the co-main event, trying to gain back to that. Shamel Finley looks like a flyweight worth paying attention to, man. He had a great performance over Santo Curatolo last time out. So anyway, should be a good fight card. So if you're around on Thursday night, please check us out in UFC Fight Pass. Our prelims are actually on OnlyFans, so I'm trying to figure this out. This is our first live prelim event on OnlyFans. We usually do YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, that kind of thing, so our own social media platforms, but we just recently announced a partnership with OnlyFans. I still don't know the whole details of it yet. I think all the technical side of it is still being worked out, so we're going to be on OnlyFans. So I guess I gotta sign up for an OnlyFans account. What am I gonna do? I mean, I gotta be able to support the product and watch the product, right? But I love seeing it, man. Obviously, everybody knows what you know, OnlyFans, how it started, but you can see they're really branching into other things as well to be this like content creator platform. I know that Josh Thompson and Big John McCarthy, I know their podcasts, they've got some exclusive content on OnlyFans as well, which I'll have to sign up and check that out. I've never seen their exclusive content. I've only heard their normal show. So I don't know, man. I'm excited about it. They're sprinkling some money in the combat sports community. So I will support anybody that does that. So that'll be happening on Thursday night. So please check us out there. And then you get into this twofer Bellator. You got Bellator 294 Friday night, Saturday night. That's that back-to-back Hawaii events. My man Cole Coffey and I have gone out there before. I believe I saw for Junkie Matt Erickson made the trip out there. And then Dan Tom is out there seeing family as well. I don't know if he's working or just kind of hanging out. But that part of the Junkie crew is out there. It's fun to be out there, man. Really, really fun to be out there. It's beautiful to be in Hawaii. And the Friday night is a show that's where the first responders and the military gets in for free. And so it's a little bit smaller card on Friday and the bigger card on Saturday. But even with being a little bit smaller, you got the title fight. Liz Carr moves versus Deanna Bennett. Flyweight title is on the line in the main event. I do favor Carr moves, so I'm just being honest. But Deanna Bennett is tough as they come and continues to get better in her career. And she's an absolute character, man. She's a trip. Sarah McMahon is making her debut as well. Danny Sabatello is on there. We always like to see Danny Sabatello fighting. So a little bit smaller of a card on Friday, but then it gets into Saturday night. Rafion Stotts versus Patchy Mix, Bantamweight Grand Prix Final. Doesn't get any better than that, man. Really does not get any better than that. This Bantamweight Grand Prix was stacked from the start. To me, I'm torn on this, man. I think if I've seen Patchy Mix, it's maybe a very, very slight underdog, but this is a pick'em. I mean, this is a straight-up pick'em, man. Two phenomenal grapplers, two phenomenal athletes, $1 million on the line, interim belt on the line, Grand Prix title on the line. This is good, man. If you haven't been watching any of the Grand Prix final, I would say at least just tune in for the final. If you can, if you have Showtime, I know it's not a channel that everybody has, tune into that and check it out. Alimale McFarland is back against Kana Watanabe. It's a big one for Alimale. It really is, man. We had a really good interview. I started to work with some guys that are doing some doing a little bit of intern work for us and trying to identify the next generation. But shout out to Cody Merrill for putting the intern team together, man. I mean, he really has done the legwork, and I'm here to help out a little bit and fill in where I can. But Nate Vent did a really good interview with Alimale McFarland where she kind of laid out a lot about what this fight means. And, you know, first of all, bringing attention to the causes of her native land there, man, in Hawaii. And she always tries to bring attention to things that need be. And so she did that. But she also talked about what it means in her career, you know, that she still wants to fight for the title. She still really wants to fight for the title. But she also realizes the end isn't that far away. So what a unique position to be in, to be at the same time, I want to fight for a belt, but I also realize it. So, I mean, it's kind of it's eerily similar to like Jorge Masvidal, right, where what a weird situation to walk into a fight and be like, if I win, I could conceivably get a title fight here. If I lose, I could conceivably be done with my career, and I think that's kind of where Alimale McFarland is as well. So, and it gets kind of Watanabe, man. That's not an easy matchup by any stretch of the imagination. So, and then you start when I mean Alimale, if she wins, if Liz Carmouche, her training partner, wins, do they fight for the title? I mean, they've kind of mentioned they would. Like, I mean, it's a weird thing. Like, they're friends. But I think they're willing to fight each other if they had to because they respect it. It's one of those things that, like, well, if you're my friend, then I definitely don't want to take away a huge paycheck from you. It's always a weird situation fighting a training partner, right? Like, you know, you don't want to. Somebody knows who's better on the most of the exchanges. But at the same time, like, you don't want to take away from that, like you said, that paycheck, that opportunity. Like, it's a situation we're about to see with Murad Dvalishvili and Aljamain Sterling, right? If Aljamain finds a way to win, he's always said he'd step aside. And I've told you guys the same thing. I see no problem yet because, you know, a lot, well, where does Marab go? How does he feel right now? As long as Aljamain steps aside, there's no conflict. He said he would. Marab has said, I'm not interested in facing Aljamain. But what if Aljamain decides, you know what, I don't know if I want to move up. You know, I want to stay here. Then it starts to get bad because now you're taking away a huge opportunity in somebody's career. So, again, I'm not trying to stir up the pot there, but just saying it's worth monitoring the situation. The rest of the card, still some fights you need to pay attention to. Aaron Pico against the replacement. Oh, excuse me, and James Gonzalez. Ray Borg, Kyoji Horiguchi. I believe that fight's at 130 pounds, but still a good matchup there. Yancy Medeiros is back. Mads Burnell is back. Kai Kamaka is on there. A good fight card Saturday night. So a lot to watch on Saturday, man. I guess hopefully you got those multiple TV setups and you can you can figure out what to watch and how to get it all together. Friday night as well. So Thursday night, CFFC. Friday night, you got to get the multiple screens together with one championship. And Bellator's first night, and then Saturday night you got to get the UFC, you got to get Bellator, and you got to get the boxing going on as well. By the way, as far as one championship, they are on Prime Video. Now listen, we're just a couple weeks out. May 5th is going to be that U.S. debut. I'm going to be there in Denver for that, so I'm excited to go to that one. I believe I'm one of the few media members that's going out there. I was actually surprised to hear. I don't think Junkie, I don't think Fighting, I don't think anybody sent anybody out there. So I was a little bit surprised at that because that's that big card, man, in Broomfield, Colorado, which, man, Broomfield is busy. First Bank Event Center, I believe John Jones, Vladimir Matyashenko was there, if I'm right, or it was John Jones and Brandon Vera, one of those. I know John Jones fought at one of those. That was one of his early, like, fight night finales, main events. But there's that BKFC 41. That's the same venue. Back-to-back weeks, that BKFC 41 card, which is stacked with all the MMA talent, right? That's next weekend. And then the following week after that is one championship. So looking forward to that. But the one this week, so they're on Prime Video this week as well, Friday night in North American prime time. Nang Ohama and Jonathan Haggerty in the Bantamweight Muay Thai World Championship. Dude, I'm just – if you have Prime Video, check them out, man. Muay Thai in 4 ounce gloves is a lot of fun. A couple of really good MMA fights. If you see the one-on-one video that I do, is a partnership with those guys. Halil Amir, Maurice Abibi is on there. Two undefeated prospects with 100% finish rates at lightweight. That should be fireworks. Bokang Masanyane versus Hiroba Minowa. They're all trying to chase after Jared Brooks, so that's on there as well. No grappling this time around, which I'm always bummed that there's no grappling. Because I'm a big fan of submission grappling, but I will say Philadelphia, end of May, we're doing back-to-back submission grappling events for Fury Professional Grappling. So we're actually doing a two-night event, which we've never done that before. So I'm kind of excited to see what we end up doing as far as the lineups and that sort of thing. We're going to do grappling events on back-to-back nights. So usually we do like an MMA and a grappling on back-to-back nights, but we're doing two grapplings back-to-back. So I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, that's all to come in May. Yeah, a lot going on, man. A lot going on. A busy, busy weekend. And I'm excited to be on the call. I'm bummed that I didn't get to see my man Cole Coffey today. I know that he's not bummed that he didn't have to talk today because he's pulling double duty. So send him some messages of support. I know he needs it. Boxing is a little bit different, man. It's a different world, right? The things... Say what you will about the UFC, but the machine is dialed in, man. They got things down to a science, bro. And I'm telling you right now, this is not just me saying this. Anybody that covers all the events, they'll tell you, like, the UFC is a well-oiled machine. And obviously, as many UFC events as we covered, you just get used to that, where it's like, all right, I show up, and there's a line here, and you check in here, and there's seats here, and there's power here, and there's a space for everybody here. And I think too, like, maybe because it's like less people, but it's all like the same people, we all work together, like everybody's just kind of considerate of each other, like, oh man, no, you know, here you, it is cutthroat. It is cutthroat at those boxing events, man. It's a whole different experience. And I think too, like, I think the weigh-ins are outside, so I think Cold Coffee's not looking forward to that necessarily, being out there. You know, now that the warmth is finally setting in and catching back up, I don't think he's necessarily looking forward to it. So send those messages of love to Cold Coffee. And, yeah, make sure you check us out on CFFC 119 on Thursday night. We'll have an and a half episode for all you fine supporters over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. I guess we'll just have to see how Saturday goes in terms of whether that happens on Saturday night or whether it happens on Sunday morning. Maybe I should just make it happen Saturday night regardless, and regardless of what state I'm in. Just makes it a little bit better. No, I'll be good. I'll be good. I won't be bad. But, you know, I'm hanging out with family. Maybe they want to go get dinner or something like that after. So we'll see how it goes. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to enjoy the rest of the weekend in Tampa, then make my way back to Vegas on Friday. Cold Coffee's out there in Las Vegas. Like I said, I think Hot T's pulling double duty as well. So support all those guys. Watch all the action this weekend, all the major organizations in play. And obviously, more than anything, just thanks for listening. We'll be right back.